diverse, independent, yours. You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
Welcome to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian.
And it's another week of gay news. And I need to book an appointment with my doctor.
Really? What for?
Well, I am behind on my vaccinations.
Oh, okay.
That's essentially it. And the reason why, as a gay man, that is of new concern is last year we talked a lot about the outbreak of the mpox virus. It was initially called monkeypox, being that it was a pox that came from monkeys.
However, like chickenpox or swinepox or...
Exactly, yeah. It's the chickenpox of the monkeys, yeah, exactly.
Cowpox? Is there a cowpox? Milkmaid pox, I don't remember.
Milkmaid pox?
Well, it's the one that the original vaccination against chickenpox was they give you basically a cowpox that barely even has any symptoms, but it also boosts your immunities. And they discovered this because milkmaids never got chickenpox, and they were highly immune to smallpox. Because they all had cowpox, and they were like predisposed to fight it off. History lesson for you, yeah. It's because of milkmaids, and they discovered gluten intolerance in Nazi Netherlands. So yeah, that's a completely different story. But anyway,
sorry. Did you say in the Nazi Netherlands?
Nazi controlled Netherlands.
Okay.
Because they were being starved out, and they ran out of food, and they started to eat tulip bulbs. But there were some Dutch people who actually got healthier during the starvation, and then later on they all got sick again, and they're like, what the hell's up with that? And that's how they discovered gluten intolerance. That is like what should be a half an hour documentary compressed down to the point where it's only mostly accurate. But yeah, that's, I don't know, the history of medicine is fascinating, and I think everyone should learn more about it. Yeah, how we know what we know is almost as interesting as what it is that we know. But yeah, we're talking about monkeypox.
Yes, we are. So last year we were talking about monkeypox, but it's worth noting. Mm-hmm. I'm a little disappointed. I mean, honestly, is there a day when I'm not a little disappointed in the Government of Canada's various websites? You know, I don't think there is a day when I'm not disappointed in the Government of Canada's various websites. But right now, I'm taking umbrage with Health Canada.
Okay.
They had a pretty decent running tally of mpox cases, monkeypox cases, sort of in early April through till about September of 2023. Mm-hmm. There was about 1,400 cases in the whole country by the end of that. 722 cases in 2023 in Ontario, 533 in Quebec, and the other big chunk was in British Columbia. They have a beautiful website, all of these running stats. They gave you daily updates. But they all stop in September of 2023. Now, why is this relevant? Why am I disappointed? Because in the whole of 2023, there was, I got the number here. In Ontario, since the middle of this January,
yes,
so only a couple of months ago, there have been 26 cases confirmed. Was mpox 2023 or 2022? Now I'm hallucinating. I'm not sure which year it was. No, it was 2023.
It was last year.
But the outbreak started in April of 2022. There we go. It sort of plateaued.
Right.
By the late 2022, not much action happening in 2023 until now. And that's mm-hmm. really the moral of the story here is in 2022, it sort of skyrocketed in terms of the infection, zero to about 1,400 cases across the country. I think it was a bit less in 2022. 2023, very little happening, almost nothing. Actually in Ontario in 2023, so last year in Ontario, there were only about 33 confirmed cases compared to the hundreds the year before. Mm-hmm. Now, this year, already between January and the end of February, about a month, 2 month time period of a month ago, there have been 26 cases already. Mm-hmm. Now, 26 cases over 2 months compared to 33 cases over an entire year.
Mm-hmm.
The math is not mathing on that one.
Well, I mean, it is, though, because you do have these waves of, what would you call it? Like minding your health and then fatigue, I guess you could say. Like, I remember the year that I first moved to Ottawa. The three major campuses and the various minor campuses, the university and college campuses in Ottawa, were in the middle of an outbreak of syphilis. Now, you don't really have an outbreak of syphilis because it's not airborne, but it was enough of a spike in numbers that it did qualify as an outbreak. And then in the next couple of years, there was an uncommonly low number of new infections of all varieties. And it was basically just this sudden spike in a sexually transmitted infection made people sort of mind their choices, I guess would be a polite way of saying it. And they were very mindful of their choices because it was very fresh in their mind. And then there was a little bit of fatigue. And then there was a spike in gonorrhea about 3 years after I got here. So there is that sort of wave of good behavior and then fatigue and then good behavior and then fatigue. It happens for a lot of things. It happens for diet. It happens for salt intake. It happens for proper hydration and getting enough naps and putting on sunscreen. It's sort of a general phenomenon that happens with self-care across the board. So the fact that this happened doesn't really surprise me as much. The fact that it's to this degree, this is more than usual, though. This is a big turnaround. I'm not going to question you on the numbers. Like that, you're right. That is surprising.
Yeah, it is a very concerning. I am concerned. Concerning. So, I don't know why I emphasize that. it is a very concerning spike in cases, and I think that point of the whole of last year, 33 cases. That is it.
Yeah.
And in just 2 months, they've almost caught up to that that mark. Mm-hmm. It's not very encouraging. And there's been cases in Ottawa. There's been cases. Most of them have been in Toronto, but also most of the gays are in Toronto because
most of the everything is in Toronto in Canada.
Most of the everyone is in Toronto. Yeah, absolutely. Out of the 59 cases, 58 were male. The one female had an quote link to a male case.
Okay,
and the average age is 37.
The really
50 out of 59 cases, or 84%, were people between the ages of 20. Well, people. Men between the ages of 20 and 49. One of them has been hospitalized already this year. So, yeah, like I said, I need to get caught up on my vaccinations. And I think the big thing about monkeypox, which was really quite interesting, sort of seeing it unfold, we commented on it at the time, and that is how... You know that old adage of putting the fear of God into somebody and sort of instilling a sense of, oh, my days, this higher power. I think monkeypox put the fear of AIDS into the gay community. It definitely quickly reignited those concerns about the HIV epidemic and the many people that died during the HIV epidemic in the 80s and 90s. And of course, we'd all just survived COVID. So it was,
Yeah,
it was definitely top of mind.
The widespread access to PrEP had become
pre-exposure prophylactics.
Yeah, just before Mpox sort of hit the scene, there was this incredible uptake in taking PrEP, taking all these prophylactics that make you far less likely to contract HIV. And if you have HIV, much less likely to transmit it as well. And if you do have it, the symptoms take longer to kick in and a whole bunch of things. But it did sort of make a lot of people a lot more comfortable with unsafe sex. And then, you know, the various health experts of the world said, you know, still wear a condom because there are things out there that PrEP does not prevent. Many of them are largely treatable, but even if you can treat, say, gonorrhea, you still don't want it. You know, take care of your health. And this was sort of a wake-up call to that as well, that people had been warning that PrEP isn't going to completely and totally make you immune to STBBIs. It's just going to make you incredibly, incredibly resistant specifically to HIV. And there's still other stuff out there and you should be mindful. And, you know, a lot of the STBBIs are only infectious when they are apparent, if there's open sores or if there's like pus and fluids and all kinds of stuff like that. But some aren't. Some are still transmissible, mm-hmm. even when they're not apparent. And this was sort of a reminder of that, that you can, you know, you need to be mindful of your health when you're having sex with people. And I don't think that message should never be lost. I mean, if anything else, your own safety and well-being. If it's someone you've not partnered with before, you don't know what they're like in bed. They may be into weird stuff that you're not into. And, you know, in general, when you first get to know somebody, you should be, I don't want to say guarded. Well, maybe a little guarded. You do need to protect your own well-being. And this is just sort of an exception of that. So the fact that Mpox is coming back doesn't really surprise me. I thought it would take longer to bounce back. I thought it would be about mid-next year that the fatigue would set in. But yeah, the whole phenomenon, unfortunately, is not very surprising. Just on trends of human history, not based on anything specific about Mpox or the, you know, everyone's going to blame the current generation for whatever. But this is the kind of thing that's been observed for as long as we've been tracking, you know, population-level health issues. So.
It's not even the first time we've seen Mpox. It actually came out. It was the first transmission was in 1970, but it was 2022 when it really exploded globally in terms of a virus. And you know, there was a rash on hands and feet, face, chest, mouth, in or near the genitals. The incubation period is 3 to 17 days. And you can get fever, chills, swollen lymph nodes, exhaustion, muscle aches, et cetera, not a fun time. I wouldn't opt in for catching Mpox. Not that I recommend anybody doing that. It was really quite startling. I think the fact that the gay community saw it spreading so quickly and virulently through the gay community, like I said, 58 or 59 being men, it definitely speaks to that. I think it inspired folks to take action, and it worked. Like I said, the whole of 2023, there were only 33 cases in the whole of Ontario, hardly any in the rest of Canada. It really plateaued out. But
yeah,
we need to get back. We need to jump back.
I'm currently experiencing the ultimate prophylactic myself, which was a couple of weeks ago. I had a major surgery where bones were removed from my eye socket. And the main thing is that my upper lip is still numb. And sometimes when I drink water, I miss my mouth. And I have the ultimate prophylactic of drooling in public. It's not going to last forever, but for now, it's definitely going to keep me safe from any kind of sexual infection. Unless someone's into that. Hopefully no one's into that. I wouldn't want to be with someone who
doesn't want to kink shame. All right. We are going to move quickly on. Like I said, we've been keeping an eye on the MPOX numbers as they've come out. Unfortunately, Health Canada has not updated its website. However, the provincial authorities are pretty on top of it. So if you want to know what the cases are looking like in your province, go to your provincial health authority. Just Google your provincial health authority plus MPOX. You are very likely to find the right answers. Just quickly, there have been hundreds of Canadian celebrities who have signed an open letter that sort of coincided with a specific day. Most notably, when Tegan and Sarah were at the Junos, and I believe it was Elliot Page that was presenting them with their humanitarian award, they've taken the opportunity before during the Junos, in the media attention around it, really calling attention to the quote, alarming and destructive anti-trans legislation, end quote, that has been rolled out across Canada, specifically Alberta, Saskatchewan, and New Brunswick. It's a who's who of who in Canada. Like I said, Elliot Page, the frontman of Great Big C, Neil Young signed on to it, Alison Russell. We've also had some folks from Schitt's Creek. We've had just all kinds of people signing on, about 400 signed on in total, including Feist, Tokyo Police Club, Metric, The Beaches, Tragically Hip's Paul Langlois. But yes, a lot of people signing on, drawing attention to it. I don't know if you are going to be convinced by 400 various movie, television, and music celebrities, or by the various Canadian pediatric associations that have also come out against this. But yet again, they are queer celebrities who took an opportunity on a stage that was given to them to draw attention to it. Beyond that, not really anything else has happened in terms of provincial anti-trans legislation, but it is still being brought to the fore by queer folks in terms of advocacy all over the place. Did you hear about this? Did you hear and witness the many people who have signed this letter?
I did know about this. Unfortunately, though, Canadian artists don't really have much weight even in Canada. It comes and goes. It depends, you know, because every so often you get huge names and you have these periods of history where like everyone's watching Canadian TV and listening to Canadian music. And then you go through 10, 15 years where no one watches anything. Like, I don't know. It's going to be a while until we get another like Red Green show. I mean, I guess we had Letterkenny, but only some people watched it. So.
Well, we liked it. All right. We are going to jump to our first track. This is Run Wild by Becky Prokova, and we will be back just after this.
Couldn't help my heart break. This type of heartache. Thank you.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. That was Fireworks by Mayor Love. I'm Luke Smith.
I'm Sebastian.
And you were telling me earlier that Grindr, the famously gay dating with air quotes app, has been in the news for a certain anniversary.
So normally we don't really report on talk pieces, because if you the audience were to look up gay news or LGBT news or queer news or whatever, do a Google search, do a whatever search, 90% of it would be behind the scenes infighting on Queer Eye for the straight guy, or whether or not a given actor is secretly gay or not. And a lot of it's nonsense. But this is one of those things where the sum total of all the think pieces about Grindr kind of do make an interesting story. So Grindr recently turned 15, and it really did change the dating experience, I guess you could say, for better or for worse, although I think most people would say for worse. And a lot of that did sort of hop over from gay men to the rest of society. Tinder kind of was born out of trying to make a straight version of the same thing, although they really simplified the interface. There's a lot of talks about how Grindr killed the gay bar, how Grindr killed gay friendships, how Grindr killed.
I want to pause you there just briefly, because I do think that.
Oh, you're allowed to disagree on any of this, by the way. These are conversations.
I don't disagree. What I'm saying here is, when we think about queer culture and gay culture, there is gay culture before Grindr and there's gay culture after Grindr. And before Grindr, we're talking about, you know, men.com. No, is it men.com? Was that the one with the boards, the forum boards? This bit before my time.
It was gay.com.
Gay.com. There we go. Men.com is a different thing.
Although
even Craigslist, you know, we were going up meeting on not periodicals, not classifieds.
What's it called? Match.com? Is that what it's called?
I think it is. Yeah. Plenty of Fish was a big one at the time as well.
Match.com. Yeah, Match.com. That started in 94. So, like, internet dating sites have been around basically.
Yeah, they've existed a long time.
Oh, yeah.
But what Grindr did is it suddenly give you, I say, the option to see, but really it's blank profiles and torsos. Like, that's the gist of it. Mm-hmm. Folks in your immediate area, and it spread like
those are the big innovations, is that it's only people who are nearby. You did have, like, for things like gay.com, on the old message boards and chat sites, you would have rooms, like you'd have the Toronto room and the Montreal room and the Detroit room and the Paris room and all that. But you didn't have to sign into your local room. Like, if you were going to travel to Halifax for the weekend, you could meet people in there and set something up before you got there. Or even just if you had a friend who lived in Halifax, you could just pop in to see if they were there chatting with people. The internet was a little bit more casual, but this idea of you are only going to see people who are currently online and nearby. So presumably people who are, you know, down to meet within the next half hour. It did sort of change the game. And so there was the innovation of nearby, and the innovation of having it in your pocket on a smartphone. You didn't have to go home and turn on your PC and then go to a website. And it was those two innovations put together. And then over time, there's a bunch of changes to the interface that made it easier to meet people and find people. And the whole, like, swiping left or right innovation, a whole bunch of things. And it did have a major impact. So people didn't have to go out into the world. A lot of the old internet folks used to call
frequent small local businesses.
You'd have to go out into meat space. Meat being M-E-A-T, like physical world.
Meeting. Yeah.
No, meat as in like flesh.